do Stratton, and my first teaching job in Oxford was at Cheyne School as head of maths, and one of my first pupils was Clive Jordan. So I'm absolutely delighted to introduce Danny. For those of you who don't know him, he's a social geographer. He has a passion for looking at issues of equality and inequality, therefore, and of course, as he says, therefore, he would be interested in education. I asked him what I should say about him, other than that he is a product of Cheyne School, that good comprehensive, a bog standard comprehensive school, as it was in those days, with a great steer from the LEA. Tim was in Oxfordshire at that time, and Liz, you were in the governing body of Cheyne School at that time, so you've got lots of connections. He didn't say much about what I should say about him, except for that he was very proud of one report that I gave him, which apparently I said E for effort and A for achievement. Well, I think actually he's since then has put in a lot more effort. He's around about all the time, we hear him on the radio. If you look at his site, you'll see that he's talking in various places. A comedy club yesterday in London. And one of the hallmarks of Danny is that he talks in a way that everyone can engage with and listen. He's an academic that is not an academic, and it's absolutely delightful. So, Danny.
Thank you. Thanks very much for coming. I'm going to speak for just under 20 minutes, I think. I'm just going to give you some ideas and some idea of what I think's going on and why it's gone on, and then what we could possibly do about it. I have to say, I had no idea that Miss Stratton was new when she taught us. Yeah, you did a very good impression of having done this for years. And you don't realise when you're a school kid at all about your school. Yeah, you work out later on what's going on, but as far as you're concerned, your school is normal. That's just what schools are like. And this is the same for all children in England, which is why they then find it very hard when they later meet to realise they've gone to such different schools and the schools are becoming more different. The other one thing I'll say about Cheyne, one thing that was really nice about Cheyne then, there was hardly any homework. there were no tests, there were hardly any tests until you did O-levels after last year, almost of O-levels. You got to play, you were not examined or pushed that much, and it didn't do you any harm. And we seem to have lost the idea that that's possible. You also got to learn, in some cases, actually about your subject, rather than about how to pass an exam. And later on, that's very, very useful if you find you're doing something like maths, and you actually have to be able to work it out. You can do that, whereas I know lots of people who get A grades at maths who can't actually do maths. And that's one of the saddest things about education in this country at the moment. And we can compare this country to other countries in Europe, and if you do that, you find, if you take numeracy and take people at age 16 to 24, we're almost at the bottom when it comes to our ability to do these basic things. Not at the bottom on the day of the test. At 16 we look good, because we're very good at getting people past tests. It's later on, when people are tested, that they can't actually do basic things because they weren't taught how to understand those basic things. They were taught how to get a grade, a number. And that's spread right across our education system. Now all schools are being forced to try to maximise the grades they can get out of children on a particular day. Perhaps the most useful thing I can try to do is to give you my take about why we are where we are and what's happened. I've just done this book called Inequality in the 1%, and the thing I should have made much more of in the book was how much the UK has changed. When I was going to school in the early 1970s, of all the large countries in Europe, we were the second most equal. Our 1% took less than everybody else apart from Sweden. Only Sweden was an economically more equal country than the UK in the early 1970s. You probably didn't realise this. There was enough of you here who were working in the early 1970s. We were still a class-ridden country. We had all these kind of problems. We have one of our nicest members of the monarchy over there, along with a glitter ball, I noticed, in case you missed it. UK was no utopia in the 1970s, but it was remarkably economically equal. Since the 1970s, we've switched from being that second most equal country to Sweden to being the most economically unequal country in the whole of Europe. It's an incredible change that's occurred. Now, because we've been here, we haven't noticed it. You know, the country's changed a bit, but you don't constantly hop over the channel to go and keep on comparing what's happened with elsewhere. But we've changed, we've switched. And I'd argue that our education system has followed that increased inequality. That's what's gone on. In the same way as when we became more equal, which was the whole period from 1913 through to the 1970s, with a lag of about 10 or 20 or 30 years, our education system became more equal, catching up with our economy, with the workforce. So we got the 1944 Education Act, because half of economic inequality had gone by 1939. You could no longer treat people in this very, very different way. We still treat them in a pretty different way. At least it was free after 1944, but there were the gold, the bronze, and the silver children. We get the comprehensives coming in the 1960s, but the vast majority of them, not until the 1970s, because it's following that increased economic opportunity of the population. You cannot treat people's children differently when they're being paid more and more similarly to each other. I think, Tim will correct me, the first comprehensive in this city was probably Piers in 1968. I think Cheney became a comp by 1972. Charwell wasn't built until 1963 as a secondary modern. And you can do an interesting thing looking at the schools of this city. You can do this with any city. And it is, I'm a geographer, so I'll go on about this slightly, but it's amazing how much land the educational establishments of a city take. I've done it for Scunthorpe, which is where my mum's from. And in Scunthorpe, it's about over a quarter of the land of the city was given up to educational institutions. Here it's similar, but you've had a poaching going on of the university, and then the universities have been poaching sites that were used for children. So my school, Cheney, originally, part of what became Cheney, was what is now St. Peter's College, which nabbed it. It won't be that long before Brooks nabs Cheney, I suspect, again, and Cheney has to move yet again. And you can watch the sites move out. I think Brooks has now got Millham, is that right? Okay. Yeah. So what's happening now? Let's speed up over now. 2 weeks ago, my little boy got a letter. He's 13. Anybody else got a 13-year-old in the room? Did they get a letter? Yeah, about Didcot? Didn't understand. No. Would you like your child, or would you like to take a place in the University Technical College at Didcot? Because your child would love to get on a bus and then get a train and go all the way to Didcot, wouldn't they, from the age of 14? So we're getting these new schools coming in. It's kind of based on the idea of technical schools, but schools so that you can exit the once comprehensive system and your child can go out at 14 and can be taught something a bit different, except they've got to get themselves to Didcot every day. What else is going on? Well, I live now on the Cheney-Charwell border. Both schools, but Charwell more, are no longer comprehensive at the age 16. It's not just that you have to get the GCSEs that you need to do the A-levels you want to do. If you don't get high enough GCSEs across the board, you're not in. That means Charwell first of all, but it'll spread. It'll be Cheney and then it'll be Spires, because Spires has to copy Cheney all the other way around. These schools are becoming grammar schools slowly again at age 16. Who's it going to affect? The children at Cutts Learn Northway. It's blindingly obvious. I don't believe any teachers are that stupid. They're teachers after all. Lots of you are teachers. They know what they're doing. They know which children they will be excluding when they put a basic bar of the GCSEs that you need to go in. And that's why my son gets a letter at the age of 13 about Didcot. Because if you're worried that you won't do well enough for GCSEs, now's the time, and you've got to kind of predict, even before you've picked your GCSEs, now's the time to opt out of the system. Only that's not what's being explained to people. And it's frightening, and it's unnecessary to do this. Now, this is gradual, but it is getting worse. I think there's a huge irony that it's going to happen to Cutterslow first, because Cutterslow is where the walls were built to stop the children from the estates. It's going to cause enormous amount of worry for the 25-odd children who don't get in. There'll be another 100 sets of parents worrying about it. You're also going to get people being kicked out if they don't do so well at their start of their A-levels and so on. And a cascade down and south and east across the city and into the FE colleges as these schools compete with each other more and more to supposedly say what a wonderful school they are. And this is just the state sector. I haven't said anything yet about the private sector or about religion or anything else because I've got about 7 minutes left to do, but this is just the state sector. Let me just say a little bit about private schools. I think, and I hope somebody can correct me, the best estimate I've had from the City Council is at any one time 28% of kids in the City of Oxford are going private, but possibly up to 40% at any point in their educational career. It's a huge proportion. This is four times the national average at any one time, but it's higher for those who dip in and dip out again. And this has a big effect. We know it has a big effect because we've compared Sheffield and Bristol. Sheffield, the city I've lived in for the last 10 years, sends more children to university than Bristol. Sheffield is a poor city. Bristol is the richest of the very large cities. Why does Sheffield send more children to university? Because Sheffield has hardly any private schools. 2% of the children of Sheffield go private. 1% in South Yorkshire go private. In Bristol, it's 25%. The net effect of that disadvantages your city as a whole. I can talk about it later, but that's just a sort of generalisation about it. The way I'd love somebody to look at this is as follows. This town is twinned with at least two other towns in Europe, of which the most similar is probably Bonn. Bonn's a university town. Compare life in Bonn to life in Oxford. And last week I asked a school teacher from Bonn to help me do this. So he wrote the list of the schools in Bonn, had a list of the schools in Oxford, and tried to compare them. But for a start, he found it very hard to rank the schools in Bonn. It is pitifully easy to rank the schools in Oxford. That was the first thing to notice. Secondly, the top schools in Bonn, when we finally ranked them, they're all state schools, because that's normal in Europe. And he identified the Beethoven Academy or whatever, where the more conservative politicians tend to send their children. You know, there are differences as well in Germany, but nothing like the differences and the divides in this town. You don't see little lads having to wear, you know, suits and ties and cycling off to Magdalen College each morning. It's a very odd thing. That's a very long thing to change. But if you're getting depressed about the length of time, I've got a list here. These are all the independent, as they now call them, private schools in Oxfordshire. And these were the ones that existed 115 years ago, which are almost all completely different. Education changes from over generations very, very quickly. It won't be the same again in the future. There you go. And they were largely run in people's houses.
Yes. Mrs. Gain, 12 Stanley Road.
Yeah, you can have a look, see whether... It's incredible, actually, finding out where all the schools were and moved to in the city. But let's talk about what's going to happen. We've had this huge increase in inequality in this country. The richest have got richer. It is, as yet, not slowing down. It's going to reach a point where it's very hard for it to continue. But we should, I think, expect things to get worse in the near future. I wouldn't be surprised to find assisted places coming back. if the Conservatives win a majority in the election. So if you're thinking of questions to ask them, would you support assisted places where some children, the special children, are saved from the state sector? As I believe one of the schools ran a campaign last year in the Oxford Times to save a child. The voucher system is likely to grow. At the moment, the voucher system begins with certain children come with a premium because they have a poor background or have used free school meals enough times in 6 years. That's the beginning, to have a different price on every child. And then the children will move around the cities, and then the private schools will be allowed to take some of those children and some of that money. That's the kind of thing I think you're going to start to see more of. Then we get this competition, because Didcot starts up. And if you look at somewhere like Sheffield, where this has been going on for longer, you end up with an over-provision of post-16 education. You end up with people fighting over customers, because that's what the children become. And you end up with precarity, because you don't know how many you're going to get each year. You end up with teachers being scared about their jobs. You end up with people being sacked. And you end up with wasting a lot of money by introducing a market. So I'd expect it to get worse, and I wouldn't get too upset if it gets worse in the near future, because it tends to lag economic inequality, and economic inequality has got worse. What you need to keep your eyes on is what is possible, and you've only got to look to the rest of Europe for that. To be honest, you can argue about whether you like Finland better than Germany or whatever, but to be honest, they're all better. We can argue about the German system, but they tend to do their children better, so we've got somewhere to look. And the very last thing I'll say is a problem I think that the left has on these things. Because we've had inequality getting worse and it's been a shock and we haven't even recognised what the shock is, what the left tends to do is defend things. It defends the welfare state, it defends council houses, it defends comprehensive education. What the left no longer does is what the left used to do, which is propose new things, like proposing a welfare state when we didn't have one, proposing council houses instead of slum landlords, proposing comprehensive schools instead of division. And the left has been fighting such a battle for the last 20-odd years, including under New Labour, within New Labour, the old bit that wasn't new, that looking forward and saying what would be better has kind of fizzled out. And the best comprehensive schools were brilliant in the 70s and 80s. But something else will be better in 2020, 2030, 2040. It's always different. The question is, what will it be, where to look to find it? And that's, I think, where we need to go. Last point to make about universities. This town used to have a university for the children of this town. It was the Polytechnic. The last figures I saw suggest that Oxford Brookes only took 20% of its intake from the county and would not release any numbers on how many it took from the city. So we have a peculiar problem with the two universities of the city. To be fair to Brookes, my university is far more peculiar and has far more problems than Brookes has. But I'll stop at that point. Thank you very much for your patience.